Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to inform, inspire, and impact our listening audience. Now, this is done by featuring nonprofits who share all the great things that they're doing and how they're making a difference in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today's focus is on the arts and how Milwaukee nonprofits work to promote access to the arts and art careers for everybody. My first guest today is Rhiannon Orizaga, Executive Director from Artworks for Milwaukee, whose mission is to combine arts engagement with workforce development through intensive cohort-based paid internships for teens. Welcome to the show today, Rhiannon.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So what is it about expressing yourself creatively that got you involved with Artworks?
So the reason I do this work is because of personal experiences I had as a teenager. I got to be involved in two really cool programs around creative expression. So from freshman to senior year, I was an editor of my high school's newspaper, and we actually printed a physical newspaper. Our instructor was a columnist from the local newspaper, so it felt very legitimate. And I also co-founded my high school's arts club and served as its first president. So I learned a ton about how to get things started. And I was fortunate enough to have adults around me who took my endeavor seriously. I often talk about these activities, but what I don't always mention is that this was an extremely difficult period of my life with my parents going through a divorce and some other family drama. And so, you know, I was trying to figure out who I was. I was at that age and, you know, in a world that could feel pretty invalidating. But these programs that let me express myself creatively and even shape the world around me were really vital. So I was able to experience community and be part of something at a critical point in my life where, you know, I was also, you know, at that age, you're differentiating yourself from your nuclear family unit. When I look at the kids in our internships, I totally get where they're coming from. And a lot of them are going through some really hard stuff. So we know that, you know, some of the interns that have been through our programs are dealing with severely traumatic things. They don't have a lot of resources or rights. So one of the things that they need is the opportunity to create something of their own, put it out into the world, and be supported by trustworthy adults who can show them how to achieve their goals. A lot of times what the interns take away from the program most of all is confidence and a sense of belonging. I see that as a really positive thing. We're actually doing a project right now with OCMH on belonging, because that's a big issue for teens right now.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm glad you were able to plug into something that really worked for you. And I think every kid needs that, as you've said. Everybody needs it, actually. Tell us more about the history and the mission and the programs at Artworks.
Yeah. So Artworks was founded in 2001 by Dr. Laura Owens. She's a professor of teaching and learning at UWM. We've had over 1,500 teens go through our programs over the years. And right now we offer a program in environmental arts and one in graphic design with a focus on mental health advocacy. So each year we hire high schoolers to complete public-facing art projects, and we use this as a vehicle to teach transferable skills that they'll need. Part of artwork's purpose is, and our theory of change is always, you know, based on these three pillars. So there's the workforce readiness aspect that we're known for, and the utilization of arts-based learning. I think also people understand that. But the development of civic character is really important to us as well. So we've always had this underlying belief that teens should care for their community, take pride in it, take some responsibility for it, which is why we focus on public art projects and partner with community organizations. When young people create something that beautifies a neighborhood and benefits others, they feel a sense of pride and they develop confidence in their own ability to affect change. So this is something that young people really need right now, because there is a crisis of confidence. I think it also sends a message to the general public, which is that young people in your community have something to say and you should listen to them.
Yeah, I love the area of civic character because I it's not something that they typically teach in school, right? You know, as right. as in part of the curriculum. And so having you bring that into it is super important. I love that piece. What else do you think, Rhiannon, people should know about artworks that maybe they won't get from visiting your website?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people think they know who we are. And sometimes they're confusing us with another organization, or they just have maybe an outdated understanding. So we're not just about getting kids to make art. This is a real job. So this is a bridge between the school setting and the workplace. So we take it very seriously. Interns have to apply to our program. It's very competitive. In addition to the application and formal interview process, they're asked, you know, can you commit and will you be accountable for your deliverables? Interns have a formal midpoint review where they can potentially earn a raise, and that they know exactly how that raise is structured. So they'll, you know, often get anywhere from 5 to 50 cent raise per hour. But they can also be written up. They can be put on a PIP. We've had to fire interns before. That's pretty rare, but it does happen.
A performance improvement plan, for those of you that don't know what a PIP is,
just to
clarify.
Yeah, and they can get a letter of recommendation for their next job. So this is a real job. In many cases, I think over 80% of our interns consistently say this is their first job. So they're learning these really important rules of engagement between the employee and the employer. And I'll also just mention that we don't require interns to have any prior art making experience, and we don't select for artistic ability. We believe anyone can and should make art, and we can also teach art making skills. So what we really look for is the willingness to commit to a program that crosses over the school year, and it could potentially conflict with other activities. So they need to be sure that they're in it and that, you know, they're not going to decide midway they'd rather be playing basketball or something.
Okay.
So yeah, they're expected to commit to building skills, self-reflection, and completing projects with external stakeholders.
So it's quite a comprehensive program, and I think, like you said, the teens need to be sure to commit to this because this is a real job, and they're learning soft skills as well that they can carry into a career, which is awesome. You mentioned that everyone can and should make art. What does that specifically mean to artworks? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out after a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking again in the second segment with Rhiannon Orizaga, Executive Director from Artworks for Milwaukee. So, Rhiannon, earlier you said everyone can and should make art. Explain to us what that means.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked this question. you know, being creative is good for the soul. It can really help us with self-regulation and building skills. I personally have been knitting for 10 years, and I always tell people that knitting taught me how to be okay with failure as a perfectionist, because I could easily see how to start over and try again. And, you know, I understood that failure was part of the process. It's also a place that you can retreat to when life is hard. And for me, knitting has brought me real friendships and community. I think it's important to have a creative outlet, not necessarily to be a capital A artist or make a certain kind of art. So we teach our interns a variety of art making skills throughout the program, and just in the hopes that they'll get that sense of, you know, the value of the practice.
Well, I will say knitting has never been my thing. I don't have the patience for it. So I give you kudos, because that's just a skill I just know I would never be able to master. So good for you. That's great. Does Artworks have any plans to scale this work to reach more of the youth in our community?
I think it's worth talking about degrowth. So the idea of degrowth is basically the opposite of scaling up, you know, the idea that you scale infinitely. But it's a view in which success is not measured by growth or size or numbers, but rather by continued commitment to being excellent on a small scale. So that might sound a little academic. I'll put it in simpler terms. We could have a model where we kind of herd youth through art classes and career skill workshops, and I'm sure they would learn some things, but it would be a lot harder for them to connect with each other, and it would be more difficult to have, you know, real growth in areas like confidence. For many years, Artworks had multiple programs a year. Those were some of our most productive years in terms of artistic output, so a lot of the well-known murals around the city are from that era. You might be familiar with the Umos mural, the Culture Work mural over by Transfer Pizza and Butter's Fetting, or you might know the Beer Line Trail mural. Some of those are from that era. But in my understanding, there was a lot less connection, so the lead artists didn't have time to really hone their skills as instructors and mentors, and the youth didn't develop the deep relationships they have that unlock strategic collaboration. So, you know, we liken it to the summer camp experience. You enter as strangers, you leave as lifelong friends. And that's important because the interns are each other's first professional network. They're able to get to know each other's strengths and learn how they can best work together to accomplish goals. And they develop a real sense of belonging with each other that is, I think, really critical. So long story short, we've chosen right now to have a deeper impact on fewer youth each year. I won't say we've entirely cracked the code. We're just looking for that happy medium between really highly visible productivity and behind the scenes operational improvements. But I think it's part of why it's so important to be part of a network of organizations that do similar work.
I would agree. Yeah. What do you think, that there's enough programs for youth in the city of Milwaukee?
This is a question I've been trying to research. I think there's just not a lot of good data, and I would love to have it. So, you know, I've been trying to figure out, you know, how many internships are there? You know, is there something for every kid in the program? Or, you know, is there a program for every kid? Is our city and county doing enough? It's hard to tell. But what I do know is that there are a lot of cool organizations that offer a lot of choices. And together, I think we form a really great symbiotic network.
And so you said you were trying to figure this out, this, you know, doing some research on this whole idea. Are you working on that still?
Yeah, I mean, when I can, in little dribs and drabs of time, I'm plugging away at trying to find out this information. I've actually submitted a couple grant applications that are related to, you know, a data project of some kind, because I think this would be valuable for more than just Artworks. This would be valuable to a lot of people. Just knowing, you know, if we have, say, 5,000 youth every year who want to do an internship program of some kind, or whether it's a summer internship or a longer one, is that available to them? Do we have the same kids doing the same programs over and over? you know, is every school getting the information they need about this stuff? These are all questions that remain for me, and I really hope to find a way to get this work done.
You're the inquiring mind that wants to know, right? So good luck on that. Hopefully you'll get that funded, that work funded. You've mentioned networks of organizations and partnerships now a few times. How does ArtWorks partner with other organizations?
Yeah, so we partner in a number of ways. It's kind of a long list. We have program delivery partners, we have project partners, and we have partners that help with employee professional development and mentorship. So just to name a few. So we partner with organizations to deliver aspects of our programming. For example, Secure Futures provides financial literacy training to our interns. Exfabula does public speaking and storytelling training for them. And a new partnership for us this year, we just did our first critical thinking course at the Urban Ecology Center, and interns loved it. So we'll keep doing that. Then, you know, for project partners in our environmental arts program, we partner with a lot of environmental organizations, as you could imagine. MMSD, Clean Wisconsin, River Edge Nature Center, Green Tech Station, Northwest Side CDC. We've worked with particular neighborhood associations like Century City Triangle Neighborhood Association and Walnut Way. Meanwhile, for our graphic design program, we partner with mental health agencies and organizations like NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness, Mental Health America of Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. That's who we're doing the school belonging project with. So these programmatic partners are kind of like, they're essentially the clients for whom our interns are completing projects. We've also done a networking event for the past 2 years with Arts at Large, where we get our interns and their interns together to hear from a panel of artists and practice their networking skills. We're hoping to expand that and invite more organizations in. And finally, we rely on partner organizations to help us do our best work as individuals. So both myself and our program manager have participated in learning circles through the Helen Bader Institute. And I just get a ton of value out of connecting with other EDs who have more experience and, you know, getting the feedback and being able to talk about challenges and successes we have. I'm also part of a group called the Council of Arts Leaders of Milwaukee, or CALM, and we do a similar thing. We share about our challenges and advice, but we also talk about what's unique about working in the art space. So it's really great to connect with other leaders who understand the challenges of working in the art space in particular.
I imagine that's super helpful, just to be around people that share your struggles, share your celebrations, you know, best practices, all that good stuff. Well, that's all great. Again, I say all the time, we never have enough time to talk about everything we would love to talk about with our guests. But if you could sum up our interview today, Rhiannon, about the importance of engaging youth in this area of artistic expression, what would you say?
I mean, first, I would say that it's not just for youth. I think everyone really should have a creative practice. But I also think that we have a duty to support the youth in our world, their access to the arts. So that can be as simple as just making a monthly donation in a small amount to an arts organization. Or, you know, you could engage more deeply if you want to.
Okay. Well, speaking of engaging, how will people do that? What is the contact information? How can people get to ArtWorks for Milwaukee?
Yeah, it's very simple. ArtworksforMilwaukee.org.
And if they Google, will it take, if they just Google ArtWorks for Milwaukee, it'll take them right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very good. ArtworksforMilwaukee.org. Okay. Very great. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rhiannon Orizaga, Executive Director from ArtWorks for Milwaukee. Thank you for sharing all the great things that you do. Rhiannon and our next guest actually met through CALM, which is that Council of Arts Leaders in Milwaukee, and have not only formed a great relationship, but have found ways to support each other and extend the mission of enhancing human potential, advanced learning, and cultivating community. Stay tuned to hear all about our next nonprofit after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Carrie Schrader, Executive Director of Artists Working in Education, or AWE. Welcome to the show today, Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. So for those who may not know, can you start by telling us who Artists Working in Education is and what you do?
Sure. Artists Working in Education has been providing Milwaukee youth with free arts enrichment program by meeting people where they're at since 1998. We do this through three kind of methods. We have our mobile truck studios that bring art making into parks and other community spaces. We do residencies. Those started in the schools, but they branched out into neighborhood and community organizations. And then we also have our Rising Artist Council for teens who are interested in exploring creative pathways. And that happens in our studio space on the Near West Side.
Okay. And share a little bit about those early beginnings. How did this whole idea of bringing art into community spaces take shape?
So our artist, it was started by an artist and educator. Her name is Barbara Monger. She's also an author. And she was deeply inspired by the energy she saw when she was doing an artist in residency program herself with a fellow dancer at McDowell Montessori School. And what Barbara noticed was how having artists embedded in the school environment was really able to transform the entire school kind of community. So at that point in time, arts funding began to shrink. No Child Left Behind was coming into play, and the change kind of focused on how things were being taught in school, which also led to decreased arts programming in schools, as well as a decrease in some of the funding that was out there for public art projects. So Barbara decided to answer the question, what would it look like to create a dedicated organization to sustain this kind of work with a group of individuals that she brought together who were all connected to either the visual arts or teaching? And what she will tell you she got right at the very beginning was getting the right group of people together around her dining room table. So while
that's the place it always starts, right? So, you know, people talking at the dining room table. Yeah.
So she had the idea, but it kind of took on this form that was really dependent on that group of people. And they started tossing around the idea about how they could do something in the Milwaukee community to encourage the arts in schools and especially the artist in residence program. So it started with four residencies in the schools, is my understanding. Then another one of the artists that was sitting at that table, Sally Dubek, she had the idea of getting a van that would go around to parks and offer this programming free. And it would kind of, this itinerant way of approaching it would allow them to really go where they were needed. And so, you know, through approaching, you know, different partnerships, she approached parks people. She got the first van donated from Pieper Electric because she was friends with the Pieper family. And that initial group of artists just believed so strongly in what the arts could do for people that they just kept this going. And then their philosophy also wasn't just to help kids, but to train the young people to be teachers. And so that's how our emerging artists who serve as our teaching artists kind of play the role that they do today. So while we started with artists in the schools, we got a van donated, grew the fleet to four vans, and all of those founding artists stayed involved for a very long time. In fact, some of them are still really involved today, including Barbara and Sally, which means a lot to me.
Yeah. And would you say all those things collectively is kind of what makes you so unique compared to other arts organizations?
I would. I think we are we're not place-based. So basically we go to where we see the need or are told the need is. And so it allows us to be, I think we were in 22 zip codes last year, you know, serving youth in different capacities. We had over 5,100 youth that we served at 73 different sites. And we worked with 32 different partners and created 15 public art installations through those artist in residencies.
Wow. Impressive. Very impressive. Well, on a personal note, Carrie, what's your why for why you do this work?
I do this work because I was impacted by this work as a young child. And so I had, you know, grew up on the south side of Milwaukee, had two working class parents who worked a lot of hours. And so when I was looking for safe spaces outside of my grandma's house, Grant Street Community recreation center was where I landed. And that's how I learned all about the different opportunities that were available to me as a resident of the city to just take advantage of. So that's how I learned about different art programs. And that's just how I really got involved with the arts and community-based work. My first job was actually with Milwaukee Recreation too. So
very nice. Very nice. So you stayed focused in that, mm-hmm. in that area. Why is access such a central value for AWE? And what steps do you take to remove the barriers that often prevent young people from participating in the arts?
It really is our North Star. And I feel like everything that we do is all about how do we remove the barriers, or, you know, so looking at what the barriers are. The thought process behind the Truck Studio was to really remove any barriers, especially so transportation's not an issue. The programming's offered for free. It's drop-in programming, so you don't need to register. We're in the parks from 12 until 3. We partner with Milwaukee Recreation, who has been a really strong and giving partner to us. And we partner with them because we also know that's where kids are already going to congregate. For programs like our residencies, we're going into places. And, you know, same thing. There's never a charge for those programs, and really working to be responsive to the needs of the community. So when they ask us to come in, we're just using art as the collective gathering tool to kind of meet the needs that they might have. And then the last thing is with our teen program, the Rising Artist Council, we realize that sometimes these kids are giving up an opportunity or an evening where they could be working or earning a paycheck. And then we also want them to know that there is value into the fact they're doing professional development right now because they've all decided this is the path I want to take. And so we pay them a stipend for the time that they're with us.
Okay. Wow. Well, you've talked about how your programs reach thousands of youth each year, but you often say that the biggest impact isn't in the numbers. So can you share a story or two that captures this transformative power of art in a young person's life?
I can. I will say this summer, we were all super excited on staff because two of the artists that applied to become teaching artists in our summer Truck Studio program had experienced AWE's Truck Studio program as youth. And so that's what made them want to apply.
It came full circle.
It
then,
came
huh?
full circle.
Yeah.
So that's like one of those, you know, feel good moments. And then another, you know, just to show how we can impact kids in the parks. Berrien Park is down on about 16th and Nash. And we're in 15 parks over the summer with Milwaukee Recreation. And it varies from day to day what parks we're in. So it's never the exact same schedule, but we do go back to the same parks a series of times over the course of summer. And there were three brothers who showed up at Berrien Park, and they ended up staying with our team the entire day making art. And then when we were leaving, because they were completely immersed in the art making, one of them was just really sad that we had to go. And so when the lead teacher told them that we'll be back, told them the day that we were back, he started jumping up and down. He was like, I am so excited. This is so awesome. You know, he's like, I need to remember that date so I come back and do this. And so those are the moments, like when you talk to our teaching artists too, they're like, after we start pulling up into the parks for like the second week of Truck Studio program, it's the coolest thing because all these kids are like, the art people are here. The art people are here. And so I do, you know, fully believe in the value of what we bring, but it's also not just turning out, like Rhiannon said in her segment, like artists with a capital A. It's just really reaching kids at a level. I mean, all kids like to create things in some way, shape, or form. And so they truly enjoy being with us and we enjoy being with them. So
that's great. That's great. Well, research shows that the arts can also improve academic performance. They can build emotional resistance and even rewire our brains. How do creative experiences prepare young people with the skills they'll need for the 21st century workforce? Well, stay tuned and we'll learn more about that after our short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG. Milwaukee's philanthropic community with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm continuing my conversation in our last segment today with Carrie Schrader, Executive Director of Artists Working in Education. So research shows, as I said before the break, that the arts can improve academic performance, it can build emotional resilience, and it can even rewire our brains. So from your perspective, Carrie, how do creative experiences prepare young people with the skills that they'll need for the 21st century workforce?
I think the creative process teaches young people to think critically, problem solve, persist through challenges. I think skills like that are just essential in any career path that you follow. They also learn how to make decisions. They learn how to take risks, see projects through from start to finish. And then they also gain confidence in their ability to just express themselves and share ideas.
All important, important things. And again, perhaps not taught in a normal curriculum and school. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we talk about the importance of soft skills, and I think it kind of gets into that area.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Not everyone's a verbal learner. So
right.
This offers one, well, multiple ways too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Milwaukee youth face serious social and emotional health challenges as well. In fact, nearly one in five considered suicide in 2021, according to the Youth Behavior Risk Survey by the Wisconsin Department of Education. How can art serve as a tool for healing and expression and mental health support in this environment?
So that same survey also showed that half of all youth with a diagnosed mental health condition between 2018 and 2020 received no treatment. And so for me, I was just stunned by those numbers, and it made me really sad. And I realized that this just made the work that we're doing so much more important, because children can often express their anger or frustration in ways that are not healthy to themselves or others. But art gives young people a safe outlet for their emotions. And if we can teach them to use art as a tool, they can kind of take ownership over whatever emotions or circumstances they're going through and hopefully surpass them. And so I feel that it's a powerful tool for self-regulation as well as self-expression. And beyond that, art creates community. So when young people make art together, they're building connections, they're feeling seen, and they're also knowing that they're not alone. And so in a city facing significant mental health challenges, if we go back to the research and the art, I would say Your Brain on Art, How the Art Transforms Us, is a great book. But in there, I love the fact that they talk about all like the scientific reasons behind it. But the encouraging finding is that you get those health benefits of the arts no matter how good you are at them. And so I think that is a key point to why AWE, feels it's valuable for everyone to engage in the arts.
Well, Wisconsin ranks last in the nation for per capita public funding for the arts. How do you feel that this reality affects your work? And what do you wish that more people understood about the economic and workforce value of this creative sector?
You know, we have a statewide advocacy group called Creative Wisconsin, Create Wisconsin. And that's a great website to find some of these statistics. But even though we rank last in arts funding, the creative sector brings in over $12 billion in industry, according to the U.S. Department of Commerce, and over 89,000 jobs. So it's not just small potatoes.
Yeah,
I think sometimes as a smaller arts organization, we struggle with the fact that a lot of people will see the larger arts organizations and they're visibly seemingly doing very well. And so they just think the arts and culture sector is doing great. But every day, we know those of us who are trying to raise funds to keep this work going, you know, we're just kind of get news every day that's not always the most positive in that arena. So I just always think if we can do that with what we're getting with the modest public investment that we have right now, what could we do if we just had, how could we amplify that impact with just a little bit more? So if you look at like per dollar, it's 18 cents per dollar for Wisconsin compared to like Minnesota, where it's a little over $10 per hour, not per hour, per person.
Okay.
Is what's the investment per person in the arts. And so 18 cents to $10 is a huge difference.
Yeah. For a neighboring state.
And to think that the individual or private sector can just completely fill that gap, I think is really unrealistic.
Okay. Well, knowing that teaching artists is really at the heart of your work, how do you support and develop these emerging artists as both educators and professionals?
So our teaching artists are at the heart of all that we do. They're the ones that live out our mission every single day. Many of them are not trained as educators or even in the arts sometimes. They just have a natural inclination or talent and they want to try their hand at doing what we do in the community with the arts. And so we offer a lot of professional development as much as our resources will allow us. We also try to help them build their network with other local artists who will allow them to see people achieving success in the Milwaukee area. So they realize you can do this here and you don't have to move away to a different city. So we have a Paint It Forward is one of our newer programs that we offer. And about 9 times a year, we do a interview with a local artist. It's live streamed and we do this in partnership with Washington Park Media Center, who's one of our neighbors. They're two doors down. They do amazing work in the community as well. And so we have this roster of local artists that are available for question and answer if you come in person to see them. But then we also have those on a YouTube channel so that like local art teachers could actually use them as a resource in their classrooms. And instead of relying on the old masters, they might be able to like look at a local artist and use them as the inspiration for a project or show their students, here's someone making a living doing this.
Nice.
Started out just like you. So.
Very, very nice. Well, so this community practice is such an important part of your work, right?
It really is. I feel like being born out of that residency model and realizing the transformative effects that can happen when you use the arts as a collective gathering tool. So they bring people together in shared spaces. You can, they strengthen the social bonds there. They can help bridge divides. And sometimes they can really just come together and address an issue in a way where you'll get conversations going that you might not do in a more formal setting. So when you're sitting next to someone, you know, drawing or, you know, painting something or just doing something with your hands, there's usually a natural conversation that flows. So I know Rhiannon mentioned knitting, and I know there's a lot of social circles that they just get together to do their craft so they can talk while they're doing it. So I think the community piece of the art is huge. And our teaching artists are really, we do a lot of training with them to learn how to be good facilitators in those environments so that they know how to help take all those separate ideas or conversations and lead them in a way that leads to a cohesive whole, because a lot of times the residencies will end up as a public art piece. So sometimes it's permanent, sometimes it's not permanent. But
well, and I think you can't talk about community without talking about partnerships, right? And those seem to be central to how you operate. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us about why they matter and maybe share some examples?
Yeah, I have a quote that I keep by my desk from the late Ruth Kohler. And she had said that partnerships in the arts are the only way we can gather adequate resources and prepare the children of Wisconsin for the complex future that they face. And I feel like many of the people that we work alongside feel that same way. Like we know that we are stronger together and we take that to heart. And so I mentioned Milwaukee Recreation before. They have been a longstanding partner of ours. So even in addition to our summer truck studio programming being in 15 different parks with them all summer long, throughout the year we're at their Twilight Centers, which serve middle and high school students. And then we're also at their community learning centers, which are at the elementary school level. So that's one partnership that I can highlight. In terms of residencies and them looking a little different than not being in the schools anymore, local artist John Kowalczyk started working with Metcalf Park Community Bridges about 3 years ago, and it was through a grant with the Medical College of Wisconsin that was really taking a look at how arts and culture could impact the health and well-being of a community. And John has managed to work with that community now for 3 years. He's probably still there, just based on different funding, because they felt his presence in the community was so valuable. And so what he was doing was not only just working with the youth in the community and being present when they did community gatherings, but there was a senior housing complex there, and he was helping them figure out how to transform some vacant lots into really viable community gathering spaces where, you know, maybe they were painting a shed, but the shed was built by UWM architecture students. And so Metcalf Park was really great at just bringing a lot of people in the community together to do this. But I would say John was one of the central components of helping them facilitate those conversations and figure out how to get it done, what the community needed to get done.
Nice. Great example of community and partnerships. Mm-hmm. Well, looking ahead, what role do you hope AWE and the arts can play in shaping stronger, healthier, and more connected communities in Milwaukee?
Since I believe so strongly, as does the organization, that the arts are essential for a thriving community, they connect us to our humanity, they help us understand one another, and they also create spaces for joy, healing, and innovation. And I don't think, I think right now all those things are needed now more than ever. So while our goal isn't to make every child a professional artist, we are here to give them tools for expression, resilience, and imagination, and we hope that that will serve them throughout their lives. And so, you know, starting with one child at a time. And so as we continue to face complex challenges as a community in Milwaukee, I feel that the arts can be used as a unifying force. It makes me excited to see so many fellow smaller arts organizations, you know, coming together and trying to figure out, like, we all do very similar work, but it is different. So how can we amplify that and work together to have a bigger impact on the community?
Okay.
And so that's really what I see.
Okay.
What I would like to see. I guess that's my dream, is to just continue to use the arts as a force for good in Milwaukee.
Okay. Well, for our listening audience who wants to connect with you and artists working in Wisconsin, in whatever capacity, if they just want to connect, what's the best way for them to do that?
So our website is awe-inc.org. Okay. And so if they go to the website, they should be able to find us. They can also Google artists working in education. And then every November, we do an exhibition that not only showcases the work from our teens, but also 27 years worth of teaching artists. So if they want information on that, they should go to the website, and then they can come see the exhibition and see what our work is all about.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Carrie Schrader, Executive Director of Artists Working in Education. Thank you for being here and sharing all the great work that you do in our community.
Oh, thank you so much. I truly appreciate this.
You are certainly welcome. If you would like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Artworks for Milwaukee or Artists Working in Education. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our featured guest today, who you think would like to be featured themselves on the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. And if you'd like to learn more about our rich nonprofit community and the important work that they're doing right here in southeastern Wisconsin, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about how and why they make a difference. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can listen on demand on your favorite streaming platform. If you'd like to find a place to plug in and share your time, your talents, and or your resources by volunteering, donating, or advocating, I encourage you to first give some thought to how you want to do that. What are the gifts that you've been blessed with, and how can you share them? Once you define how you want to do that, then you can plug into the where. Find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing, and you'll be making an impact in more ways than you can ever imagine. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.